Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us will be TJ Inman. We're going to break down IU's win over UConn to move to 3-1 and also preview IU's trip up to East Lansing as they face the Michigan State Spartans, who are ranked 25th in the nation, for the battle for the old brass spittoon. But first, a word from our friends at MyBookie. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, when you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys this to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR, CHAIR, to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So we're looking forward to Indiana's matchup against number 25 Michigan State on Saturday. It'll be at 3:30 on BTN up in East Lansing, and we'll have all your previews here on Hoosier Huddle. So Indiana's coming off a 38-3 win over UConn to move their record to 3-1. 3-1, halfway to bowl eligibility. They did lose Coy Cronk, it seems, for the season. It was officially announced today. And some other injury news. Michael Penix should be back or could be back as early as this week. It's still a game-time decision, and we'll see what they do there. So we're waiting on TJ to join us, and then we'll get down to breaking down the game against UConn. TJ, welcome into the show. How are you on Monday, on this fabulous fall Monday?
Yeah, doing very well. Thanks. It's exciting to talk about what should be a very interesting matchup against Michigan State. And to recap what turned out to be a dominant performance for Indiana over a pretty poor UConn team.
Yeah, I thought they were much improved, TJ, according to some people on this podcast.
I watched the Illinois game, and you never know with early season games who it says more about. Does it say more about Illinois? Does it say more about UConn? But when I watched them against Illinois, they did look much better to me. And I will be the first to admit when I'm wrong. And I will say I think UConn is better than they were a season ago, but that does not mean that they're remotely good. That's a pretty poor football team. That Indiana did what they should, which is dominate them, not exactly from the start, but pretty much, first quarter on, they controlled that game very easily.
Yeah, and then you saw, Indiana lean on that running game in the fourth quarter. I think they ran for 84 yards in the fourth quarter, even without Coy Cronk, who went out early in the first, I think about midway through the first quarter, with, an ankle injury that's going to cost him the rest of the season, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Coy was a great player. He's one of the heart and souls of this team. He should have a chance to redshirt, according to the new rule. But again, it's a senior year. It's a matter of, does he want to go through this all over again, or does he want to rehab, get the surgery rehab, and take his chances at the next level? So we'll see on that. There was no answer at the press conference today about that. It's just too
right.
early. This thing happened about 48 hours ago. It's, they need to process it, and they need to go through surgery, see how surgery is going or went, and then see how long rehab's going to be. And it's a major life decision whether to go pro or to stay in school for a fifth year. And it's really an unplanned decision too. So we'll see.
Yep.
We wish Coy the best, a speedy recovery. He was always great to talk to during interviews and things like that. But overall, I thought the victory was a strong victory.
Quick note.
Go ahead, TJ.
Yeah, quick note from me on Coy Kronk. I thought he showed tremendous leadership with the way that he rallied his team around him. Everybody, you know, came out to, give their well wishes when he was put on the cart. And he was fairly close to where I was sitting. He was very visibly, you know, picking his teammates up, letting them know, you know, come on, you got this. And, well, I don't know the exact words he was saying, but very vocal and fired up as his guys came over to, you know, to show their concern for him. So really good leadership shown there by all accounts, you know, terrific in the locker room, and he's been very good on the field. Now, he does project at the next level as a guard, not as a tackle, according to scouting reports. So, I think that there might be a possibility there that if Matthew Bedford steps in and performs very well, which IU was anticipating, Bedford was going to be the starting tackle next year. So if Bedford steps in and does well, you know, maybe, and like you said, this is something that he has to take a lot of time to process and make the best decision for him. But, you know, perhaps he decides that the best decision for him is to play a season at guard, move inside, and have Jones and Bedford as IU's tackles with Kronk inside. A lot of variables up there, but for Indiana, for the season, I think it's going to be absolutely critical that Matthew Bedford is ready to step in and provide adequate cover at left tackle while Caleb Jones stays at right. It places more of an emphasis on Jones performing well, places more of an emphasis on the inside guys picking up the slack and helping Bedford out if he is the guy there, which I think he's going to have to be, because I do not think you can count on Devondre Love to give you, you know, top-end tackle quality in the Big Ten against some of the good teams IU is going to go up against. So it's going to be definitely a big challenge to see what Darren Hiller and the IU coaches do, not just this week, but moving forward with that offensive line. Now we can go back to UConn, but it's definitely something to watch coming out of that game.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid win. Anytime you beat somebody by 35 points, it's a solid win. Peyton Ramsey stepped up, played well again. The one pick was odd, but you know, overall he's filled in nicely. He was overmatched against Ohio State, which is you know what you're getting with Peyton Ramsey, but
yep.
He has command of the offense. He's not gonna totally just be overwhelmed by the moment, but he played well again, threw three touchdowns. He saw Nick Westbrook get re-involved in the offense, which is great. He saw Stevie Scott come on late. I think he finished with 97 yards rushing, but you'd like to see the run game get some bigger plays, but their goal was to, you know, get 3 or 4 yards at a time. I think they ended up averaging about 4 yards a carry, which is fine. We'll see how they do against Michigan State's defense this week, which could be another rude awakening. But, you know, for a bounce-back game after Ohio State, they played pretty well. It seems like morale is pretty good. You know, the defense came to play. They made the tackles. There weren't as many missed tackles. Yeah, Cam Jones changes the entire dynamic of this defense. My goodness. He had the pick six. His best tackle was on a play that didn't even count in the stat sheet. He absolutely destroyed a UConn running back on the read option that led to a Michael Siemba tackle for loss. He absolutely obliterated that guy. So having him back and healthy changes the whole dynamic of that defense. I still want to see Marcelino Ball step up. I don't know what's going on with him, but something is off. I think. You know, he was up in the press box. I noticed he was kneeling at the corner of the end zone while the entire team was in the locker room, while the little kids ran out on the field pregame. I didn't notice how long he had been standing there or kneeling there, but it had been a few minutes before the game. So I don't know. He needs to get his head back in the game. Because I don't want to say he had a good game against Ball State because he had 3 15-yard penalties, but he had a 10-tackle game against Ball State, and then he has totally dropped off the face of the earth in terms of Indiana football the next three games. So IU needs him to get back to where we know he could play and get his head in the game. I do not know what's going on with him, but he has been missing in action, so to speak, over the last 3 weeks. But overall, I thought it was a good win.
Jamar Johnson played more than Ball did and then produced more than Ball did as well on Saturday. Johnson had, I believe, 6 tackles, and he was noticeable on the field, whereas Marcelino Ball was noticeable by his absence.
There have been two games where I thought to myself at the end of the game, did Marcelino even play?
Right.
But that's a concern for me, but I thought that the defense played well. We'll see what they could do against Michigan State, whose offense kind of awoke in the second half against Northwestern last week. But they have been, you know, they've looked awful at times this year. There's just too much talent on Michigan State's offense for them to be this bad. If you look at their numbers, they've been putting up decent numbers as well. But, you know, it's still a solid win. It's your third win. It was a game you were supposed to dominate. You dominated. And now you can move on with the rest of the season and head into Big Ten play in Michigan State. TJ, what are your initial thoughts on Michigan State? They come in off of a win at Northwestern. It propelled them back into the top 25 at 25. The Big Ten as a whole, I haven't been that impressed with outside of Wisconsin and Ohio State, who are just destroying people. But the rest of the Big Ten seems very ordinary.
Yeah, I think that you could throw Iowa in there as being, relatively impressive. I mean, they've handled their business, and then in their matchup game, if you will, at Iowa State, which was a very difficult game for them, and it's always a kind of an ugly contest. But those two, match up very well, and Iowa was able to come out on top. And I think you'd say they're probably right now you'd put them at second in the West, and then in the East, I don't know exactly what order you'd put behind Ohio State, but everybody clearly behind the Buckeyes in my opinion. I do want to add on to what you were saying about UConn. You're right about Cam Jones. I mean, he just a unbelievable presence for Indiana. It makes such a huge difference to have a healthy Cam Jones out there. He gutted it out against Ohio State and really pushed himself to get back. He was not healthy, and it showed. It wouldn't have at all made a difference in the outcome, but it definitely helps IU's defense to have him out there being able to make plays, because we talked about before UConn on our podcast, we talked about Indiana needing playmakers to step up on defense. And Cam Jones is a really good example of a playmaker on defense. He has a nose for the ball, and when he gets around it, he makes things happen. And I think that he is – I think he's Indiana's best linebacker. I think he might be Indiana's best playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. I thought he has looked really good. And I also want to shout out the young corners. I thought Jalen Williams and Taiwan Mullen have both really performed well so far this season, and I think that definitely bodes well for the future for that defense, because you just have a sophomore and a freshman there that will make quite a good pairing, not just this year, but moving forward. Initial thoughts on Michigan State, definitely a defensive first team, that to say the least. Now, look, they could have a really good offense and they would still be a defensive first team because their defense, it's either going to be the toughest defense IU sees this year or it's going to be second or third. You know, Penn State and Ohio State are right there with them. They are not as athletic as the Ohio State defense, but incredibly sound fundamentally. They are going to force Indiana's defense or force Indiana's offense to move the ball down the field. They're not going to give up big plays. And Indiana's going to have to move down the field with a multiple play drive without mistakes. If you get behind the chains against them, they can flat out overwhelm your offensive line. The defensive front is really, really good for them. And the secondary, very physical, very good in coverage, incredibly handsy in coverage, but they seem to get away with it, so props to them for that. Indiana, in my opinion, in this matchup, for IU to be able to effectively move the ball or have a chance of effectively moving the ball, they're going to have Michael Penix play because you mentioned you know what you're getting with Peyton Ramsey, and we know what that looks like against top-notch defenses. The field just constricts so much without the vertical, the threat of vertical passing game. I worry that if Peyton Ramsey is the quarterback for the Hoosiers, that it will be an incredibly ugly day for offense on Indiana's side because Michigan State will put eight guys in the box, and if they've got eight of their guys in the box, you're not moving the ball on the ground at all, and you're not moving the ball through short passing either. Because if one of the things that you'll see that they typically do incredibly well is tackle well in space. Very, very good tackling in space, which is something you do not see a lot of in college football anymore. They do it incredibly well. On the offensive side, look, you know, Brian Mulwerke, we didn't really know what we were getting with him this season. There was a question whether or not, you know, his injuries prevented him from having the type of season he would expect or last year, or if it was strictly, you know, maybe he's just not that good and his first year as a starter was more of the fluke. The evidence so far would suggest that it's more that his first season as a starter was a fluke and that he's not that top end quarterback. I think he's an average Big Ten quarterback. He's capable of making some good throws, but he's going to make some mistakes as well. I don't think that the offensive play calling trusts him. They're not going to take a lot of risks. Indiana's defense should be able to have a pretty good day against Michigan State's passing game. They definitely miss playmakers on that side of the ball. Darryl Stewart's probably their best receiver. But I've been a bit underwhelmed with him. Running-wise, they have a pair of running backs that are, you know, decent. I think that Collins, I believe it's Elijah Collins or Eli Collins, I think is the guy that they are rolling with as their first running back. He's kind of displaced Connor Hayward as the guy. You know, I think Hayward's okay. I think Collins provides a bit more burst than Hayward does. Neither of them are particularly versatile. They're not going to really kill you catching the ball out of the backfield, but they can pick up some decent yardage between the tackles, pick up, you know, 4 or 5 yards of carry. Much like Stevie Scott, you're not going to see a lot of chunk plays with those guys, or at least you shouldn't if you're making your tackles. They do not use the tight end near as much as you would anticipate they do, but their type of offense. That the issue that they've had for the past few years has been the offensive line. You know, after a number of years with guys like Allen and Conklin, they haven't really replaced them with that level of talent. They thought that they had the way that they're recruiting, but just hasn't panned out that way. They do have a couple of offensive line injuries as well that is making it difficult for them to have a consistent offensive line lineup out there, and it's really hindered their offense from doing much. Now, they look decent against Northwestern, but I think that might have more to do with the Wildcats than it does the Spartans. Their game against Arizona State was really brutal to watch. And their defense had to feel sick about losing that one because they played a great game and still came up short against the Sun Devils. So it's very much the Michigan State we thought we were going to get, in that their offense still isn't very good. Their defense still is elite. The question for them is going to be, can their defense do enough to keep them in games against everybody? I think that is probably going to be the case, except for against Ohio State. They do not have the firepower to hang with them, and their defense won't be able to make up for it. But I think if Indiana doesn't have Penix and that vertical passing threat, then I think it'll be a very long afternoon.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. And we'll see what goes on with Michael Penix. It seems like there's a little bit more information released today from Tom Allen's press conference. He said, Michael's been rehabbing. That's continued to go well, and we'll find out more here throughout the week and then make a decision for that position on game day. Later in the press conference, he came out. He didn't want to get into specifics. He says, so I could say with confidence that he's progressing, and I'm trusting in our medical staff for their analysis and evaluation. They do a tremendous job, so I believe in them and trust them. So, yeah, we're making progress. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing, and we'll see how when he'll be ready to come back, but definitely making progress. Somebody asked whether or not there's a temptation to give him a rest with the open week coming up after this week. And Allen just said, only if he's not ready. To me, I'm not going to put him out there if he's not ready. And so because of having the bye afterwards, there's no doubt it'll be an extended period of time. I think he did mention that he was practicing again, which is a pretty good sign, I think, and things like that. So we'll see. It'll be a game time decision. I'll be out in Vegas. Maybe they'll have a line on it and things like that. So, but it's one of those things where you hope nobody leaks the information, and it might, give IU a little bit of advantage. Michigan State's got to prepare for both guys. Now they're very familiar playing against Ramsey. This will be, I think, their third game against Peyton Ramsey. Overall, the same defensive staff and things like that. So they'll be ready to go for him with Michael Penix. You probably got to study him up a little bit more. But as far as Michigan State goes, it's a game that they could win. It could happen. Anything could happen. But it's a game, much like Ohio State, a loss is not going to kill your season, and it shouldn't kill your season. And as long as you get out of it relatively healthy now, your margin for error on injury on the line is gone.
Yep.
You hope that if Penix does play, he could get out of it healthy. Then you could go into your open week, get ready for two big weeks against Rutgers and Maryland, before heading out to Nebraska and Northwestern. It's a very big four games after this open week for IU coming out. So much like Ohio State, a loss here really, as long as there's no catastrophic injuries, really doesn't mean that much in the big picture of things as far as getting to six. A win would, I'm not even using the term program building or program changing. Michigan State is a fringe top 25 team. They're only in there because they're coming off a win against Northwestern, and I think the bottom half of the bottom quarter of the top 25 didn't do too well last week. So it'd be a nice win. It'd be nice to get the Spittoon back. It's a skin that Tom Allen, that Hoosier Nation has been holding over his head for the last 3 years. They've only beaten Rutgers in Illinois and Maryland. So this would be a new team and a brand name that they could do. But I don't think this is one that changes the trajectory of this program. It's a game that I don't think they've won up there since 2001 and things like that. So you check off a lot of boxes, but it's not a program changing or program building win. It's a nice win. You get a trophy back that you could parade around the alumni. It puts you ahead of schedule in terms of getting to a bowl game.
Exactly.
So what I mean by that is that if you go game by game through the year, most people probably had IU coming out of this at 3-2, going into that open week at 3-2. You think they'd get Rutgers before and two heading into Maryland, and that's where you need to be. They get this, they're ahead of schedule by a game. Their margin for error increases by a lot, and you know it's something that people will be talking about heading into the open week. But other than that, it's not, you know, tear down the goalposts or rush the field type of material. If this is a home game, it's a fringe top 25 team. It's, I mean, if you want to, the program's not even at that point yet where these are the games you should win. But it'd be a nice win, but not a program building win. Going on that, I want to see the defense play well. I want to see this team play well in a big spot and not to overcomplicate things and not to get overwhelmed by the size of the moment, even though the size of it's really not as big as some of these moments in the past have been. But anytime IU has played, you know, a ranked opponent in the last couple of years, they haven't really started out well. And you saw it against Ohio State. They got dominated early. Even though Ohio State missed that field goal, they marched right down the field. Then you had, you know, Michigan State last year. Peyton Ramsey throws a pick, and all of a sudden, 5-6 minutes into the game, it's set at 14-0. Iowa last year, same thing. All of a sudden, it's 14-0, and your head's spinning and going, what the heck just happened? So IU's got to avoid that in order to be competitive. If they could get out of the first 5 minutes of the game and the last 5 minutes of the halves, you should be okay. And if you put any doubt into Michigan State's head, I don't know if this Michigan State team's that mentally strong. Yeah, but a lot of stuff with D'Antonio and these sexual assault cases going on. You have the "uh-oh, here we go again" mentality with Michigan State fans. If this goes a lot like the game did 2 years ago up there, it's going to be IU has a shot, and especially with Michael Penix. If IU's up 6-3 and has a chance to put it in for the win late in the game, you know, Michigan State fans are they're not the rowdiest bunch if their team's hitting the deck. But if they come out and get a lead on the Hoosiers, they'll be into it. So a lot of it is, you know, the mental game. How mentally tough are you? Can you humble yourselves a little bit as IU? And I think Ohio State did that to them. And that was probably one of the best things that Ohio State did. IU came in flying high off of a shutout, off of the biggest win in Memorial Stadium history. And Ohio State just planted them in the ground, and maybe that woke them up to, hey, we're not as good as we think we are, and refocused them a little bit. So hopefully that's the thing. What are your keys to victory, TJ?
I think getting off to a good start is absolutely critical. You cannot fall behind against this Michigan State team that plays into exactly what their strength is. So you absolutely have to get off to a good start. For me, I think the obvious one is IU's offensive line against Michigan State's defensive front. That applies to the running game, it applies to the passing game. So I'll go a little bit off the beaten path. I'm going to go with Indiana's receivers against Michigan State's corners. IU's receivers are going to have to make some competitive catches, particularly if Michael Penix is there and IU's trying to stretch the field. They're going to have to make competitive catches because you're not going to get a lot of opportunities against Michigan State, and you cannot lose the ones that you do get. If a play is there to be made, the receivers have got to come down with it. I think the Wap Billier is having a pretty nice season so far when he's been asked to make plays. He's shown some real toughness and physicality running with the ball. I think Peyton Hendershot has had a really good season so far. This is the type of game where guys like Donovan Hale and Nick Westbrook, they've got to step up when the play is there to be made. They've got to come down with it. If you don't, you likely won't get a second chance against these Spartans.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, TJ, I'm going to go. My key of the game is starting off well as well. And then, you know, take advantage of opportunities. IU should get some opportunities, especially if Penix plays. You got to take advantage of those red zone opportunities. They did that against UConn last week. And you got to score touchdowns. Field goals are not going to be – Indiana's defense is not the shutdown defense that Michigan State has. Indiana's going to have to score touchdowns to win this game. They can't settle for field goals like they did a couple years ago and think a 9-3 lead is okay, because you know as soon as Michigan State makes a play, we saw the flags fly in favor of them, give them that thing. The dam just breaks in terms of that. And so, you know, you get up a couple scores, then the referees shouldn't even matter. If you're up 17-6 or whatever it would have been, 13-3, you know, then who, you know, they go down, they have to score twice instead of once. So, you know, a bogus pass interference call, a bogus holding call or a missed holding call really doesn't hurt you in terms of that. You have a little bit more margin for error. So take advantage of your red zone opportunities, score touchdowns. If you need to kick a field goal to go up two scores, kick a field goal to go up two scores. But you got to be smartly aggressive. And we'll see. A lot of it is going to depend on who's playing quarterback for IU. And do you get a little bit more conservative with Peyton Ramsey, or do you try and empty the bag here? If you're in it in the second half and it's there for the taking, and this is something that Mike DeBoer didn't really do, Do you have something in the bag that you open up and say, hey, you know what, now's the time to use it because we won't get another chance at this. We'll see how that goes. Missed opportunities have haunted IU in the past in this game. You saw it last year. I think it was Reese Taylor was overthrown on a wheel route. 2 years ago, it was Jason Harris was overthrown on a wheel route, where if they hit those two plays – man, it's a whole different story. And IU probably at least wins one of those games if you hit one of those passes. So we'll see. You know, it's kind of lazy if I go key to the game is Michael Penix as hell. But it very might well come down to that. So we'll see. Predictions, TJ?
Well, I do think that Michigan State – is an extremely flawed team. However, they have one elite unit, which is something that IU has not proven to have. So I will take, you know, in games that I think are fairly even, you kind of lean to the home team and you lean to the program that is used to winning, and you lean to the team that has the best unit. So that's going to be Michigan State. I think that the Spartans get this one done. I am going under the assumption until I see Peyton Ramsey until I see Michael Penix playing as the starter, I'm going under the assumption with absolutely no information other than what Tom Allen has said publicly that Peyton Ramsey is going to be the starter for Indiana until I see otherwise. So with Ramsey as the starter, I go with Michigan State winning this game in kind of a ugly fashion, if you will. 20-7 Michigan State. I think that things dramatically change if Michael Penix does play. If Penix plays and is healthy, I think Indiana definitely has a shot. I think they put up 17 and Michigan State wins it 23-17. but I'll go with Michigan State to get this one done. But I think IU will perform admirably and show much better than they did against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and to go back to keys, TJ, special teams is going to be huge. It's all those hidden yardage.
Yeah.
You saw David Ellis is becoming a weapon on kickoff return. Can you get a nice kickoff return to set up your offense and things like that? And can Wapfillier finally break through on a punt return? Do you see Reese Taylor getting into the mix and things like that? So all those hidden yards are going to come into play as well. So I'm sorry I forgot that on my keys to the game. But my prediction, I'm going to take Michigan State 24, Indiana 14 right now. Michigan State's defense is just a little too much for the Hoosiers, especially without Coy Cronk. You're breaking in a new a new tackle, Matthew Bedford, or you roll with Devondre Love there as well. So there's just the talent drop-off and experience drop-off is steep when it comes to Coy Cronk being out. The run game needs to do something this week. The pass, IU's receivers who we've hyped up all year need to start making those competitive catches, as you said, TJ. But, you know, regardless of quarterback, I think Indiana is in trouble in this one. Unless Michael Penix comes out and puts on a show, I'm going to go Michigan State 24, Indiana 14. They don't have the firepower on offense to negate the firepower that Michigan State has on defense. They're going to need some takeaways. They're going to need a bigger play or two on special teams, and they're going to need to not hand Michigan State points as they've done in the past. So, final thoughts on the game?
I think everything you said is accurate. Primarily for me, I do just want Indiana to perform better. Get some confidence, win or lose, get confidence going into the open week. So you feel good about yourself heading into a gigantic, I think a season-defining four-game stretch that really does feature four games that are winnable, given what we've seen from those teams so far this season. I am looking forward to Saturday. I think it's going to be very interesting. It's a winnable game, but one IU is going to have to play incredibly well to come out on top.
I agree with you. It's something, you know, if they lose, don't let this loss define your season. If you win, build on that momentum, take it into the open week, go take two in a row against Rutgers at homecoming and move on. Then you have a shot at maybe putting together a three-game winning streak, but don't put the cart before the horse either.
Right.
So it's a big game. It's another ranked opponent that IU will be facing, even though they're at 25 in the AP poll and receiving votes in the coaches poll. It's a big opportunity. Game is at 3:30. It'll be televised on Big Ten Network. You can follow everything along on Twitter with us at Hoosier_Huddle. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your news leading up to the Old Brass Spittoon game. TJ, thanks for joining us. That does it for today's podcast. Enjoy this, I want to say, cool, nice fall weather we're having today.
Yeah, this is darn near perfect here. Hopefully this stays this way for a while. It's very nice. And everybody have a good week.
All right, that does it for tonight's podcast. Thank you for joining us. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle and visit early and often at HoosierHuddle.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Sammy Jacobs. That was TJ Inman. Enjoy the rest of your evening.